Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Dear Dhamma friends, when we live in this society, we have something to face. Even though we were fortunate to be born into human world, you can see that there are some differences among people. Some people, they are rich, some people poor, some people, they are skillful, some people are not, some people live longer, some people live less lifespan, that some people are beautiful, all these differences. And also, whatever it is, we all are, all have common thing, because we all common something. What is that? That is called karma. Karma, that because our place of birth decided by karma, our ability decided by karma, our lifespan decided by karma, our appearance decided by karma. So then, because we are, most of the things depend on our life based on karma. We have past lives. We have done some good things and bad things. We have good karma and bad karma. So Buddha explained, all these good or bad karma we are going to experience in this life and also next life. The araka karma we are going to experience in this life, and there are some bad, good or bad karma we are going to experience next life. So there are some karma we are going to experience those things, you know, whatever the time until we enlighten, we are going to experience all those things. When we see our past, past means not in this life, long, long time ago, the previous births, previous births, previous births. When we talk about our lives, even we have to go for eons and eons the part of the past. Nobody can get character certificates. We all broke precepts. We all did bad things in the past. Because we did the bad things, we shed our blood. Buddha explained, more than four great oceans. We lost our loved ones, maybe father, mother, brother, sister, wife, and husband. We shed our blood, more than four great oceans. Then, however, so, we are the result of karma. Buddha taught us, we can overcome this karma. That we don't have to stay idle, oh, I am a result of karma, I cannot do anything. But we can overcome that karma. We can generate another good karma to overcome all this bad karma. We don't have to be afraid of. Even if you did any bad things in this world, in this time, in this life, so you can overcome all this bad karma. Because most good thing is, good news is, we were born into human world. That means, we don't have bad karma to be born into hell or animal world. So, some kind of a good karma and some kind of a bad karma. Then, how you can overcome all those things? How we can overcome effect of all these things. Now, Buddha explained in one of the so many suttas that we are going to learn today, one of the sutta that is called Sankha Dhamma Sutta. Sankha Dhamma means that, you know, there is a sea cell that we can blow that one. Right? I don't know here that, though I think Aboriginal people they use. There's a sea cell, that white color, very big one. You can blow that one. This is called conch blower. Right? when you blow this one, the sound will go. And this is the sutta. In Pali, it is called Sankha Dhamma. Now, this is in Sanghitanikaya book, and this is called Connected Discourses. And one of the sutta, it is in sutta number 42.8. Right, so if somebody wants to see that the sutta, read that sutta, you can go to suttacentral.com and go to sutta, and from that sutta you can see the 42.8, and we are going to learn from this sutta. So that time our teacher was dwelling or staying at Nalanda in Pavarika's mango grove. So that's another place, not the Jetavanarama, right? So this time he was in Nalanda. Nalanda is the place of that Sariputta Bhante's hometown, right? There was a Nalanda. If you go to India, you can see Nalanda University, right? All these the ruler, the he came and they put the fire to that, killed many monks, like more than 1,000 monks killed. They put the fire to the Nalanda University. And Nalanda was the birthplace of Sariputta Bhante. Who is Sariputta Bhante? He is the main disciple. He had the great psychic, wisdom after Supreme Buddha. Right? And that time actually, Supreme Buddha was in that mangrove grove. Then there was a man called Asibandhakaputta. He is the head man in that area. Asibandhakaputta means that the sword. That he is holding sword. That maybe that is job. There are different kind of jobs for the, you know, the kings. Maybe they put the sword, that tie for that soldiers around his neck. However, he is the head man for that place. And lay disciple of, however, he was not a disciple of Supreme Buddha. He was disciple of Nigantanatha Buddha. So Nigantanatha Buddha is the another one who told the world, who proclaimed the world, he was the Buddha. But his teaching was something like this. He taught, so you have to remove everything from your life. Saying that one, they remove even clothes. Even there are some part of the India, still you can see them. They remove their clothes. That's called Nigantas. They remove clothes. They live without any clothes. They think that they are removing all those things. And actually, Buddha tried all these things when he was having that all the self mortification in 6 years. He did better than everyone those days. But here he is the disciple of Nigantanatha Buddha, and he came to see the Buddha. And that time, Blessed One said to him, and he was sitting to one side. And then Buddha asked, "In what way, head man, does Nigantanatha Buddha teach the Dhamma to his disciples?" Buddha asked his question. What way Nigantanatha Buddha is teaching to his disciples? Then that time, that Gamini, Asibandhaka Buddha, the head man, which is called, his name is Gamini, he said, "Venerable sir, Nigantanatha Buddha teaches the Dhamma to his disciples thus. Anyone who at all who destroys life is bound for state of misery." Right? Somebody is killing beings. Destroy life is bound for state of misery. He is going to be born into hell. Somebody is killing beings. He is going to be born into hell. Anyone at all who takes what is not given, that means stealing, is bound for state of misery, bound for hell. Anyone at all who engages in sexual misconduct is bound for state of misery, bound for hell. Anyone at all who speaks falsehood, that means lying, is bound for state of misery, bound for hell. One is led onto rebirth by the manner in which one usually dwells. Whatever he is doing, and according to that one, he will be born his next birth. So, same like right expression, right theory when you see that, right? Because somebody, when Nigandhanatha Buddha is teaching, somebody kills, means he will be born into hell. Somebody steals, he will be born into hell. Somebody engages sexual misconduct, he will be born into hell. Somebody lies that he will be born into hell. Is that true? Same like right, yeah? So, because that's what we think. We say that, don't do those things. And so you'll be born into hell. That Nigandhanatha Buddha is teaching the same thing and Buddha is teaching the same thing. What do you think? Okay, now Buddha is asking a nice question here. It is his, now he's saying, whatever he's doing, and more, and he will be born into hell. Now Buddha is asking one question here. It is in such a way, Venerable Sir, that Nigandhanatha Buddha's teachers, the Dhamma to his disciples. Now that Asibandhaka Buddha is saying, this is the way Nigandhanatha Buddha is teaching. Now Buddha is asking this question. If head man, it were the cause that one is led on to rebirth by the manner in which one usually dwells, then according to Nigandhanatha Buddha's word, no one at all would be bound for state of misery, bound for hell. According to Nigandhanatha Buddha's teaching, that he is saying that whatever the things he is doing more and more, he will be born into hell. Whatever whether he is killing, stealing, engaging sexual misconduct, lying, he will be born into hell. But Buddha is saying, according to Nigandhanatha Buddha's teaching, whatever things he is doing more, that according to his teaching, nobody will be born into hell. Why is that? Buddha is asking. Now here, what do you think, headman? In the case of a person who destroys life, if one compares on occasion with another, whether by day or by night, which is more frequent? So when you compare that one is killing beings, right? When you compare day and night, what is more frequent? Killing or not killing? Right? So which is more frequent, the occasion when he is destroying life or those when he is not doing so? Let's say somebody is killing. Compare 24 hours. Over the 24 hours he is killing. Let's say somebody is killing that, the cows for the meat. He is working for how many hours? 8 hours. Right? But he lives 24 hours per day. That compared to this all these hours, I'm going to extreme end. Somebody is, as a job, he is killing that all the cows. You know that some butchers that they kill cows or chicken and they cut off that heads, right? That even that he may work 10 hours, but compared to 24 hours, what he is doing more frequently? Not killing, right? According to Nigandhanatha Buddha's teaching, nobody will be born into hell because he is more frequent, he is not killing, right? And less frequent, he is killing. But usually people kill, not always, but they steal, not the 24 hours, they are not stealing, continuously they are stealing, 24 hours, without even sleeping, right? No, they are engaged in sexual misconduct 24 hours, right? They are lying, or you know, that somebody, you know, that we know that some of our friends, they are well known that they are lying. They are not always lying. Compared to day and night, 24 hours, they may lie that, you know, let's say they lie 8 hours, but 24 hours, how many hours they don't lie? Right? More frequent is not lying. Right? Compared to day and night, the more frequent is not lying. According to Nigantanatha Buddha's theory, nobody will be born into hell. That Buddha asked that one. Then, that Asibandhaka Putta, that head man, he said, so in the case of a person who destroys life, Venerable Sir, if one compares one occasion with another, whether by day or by night, the occasions when he is destroying life are infrequent, while those when he is not doing so are frequent. So most of the time he is not doing that. Right? So all these breaking prayer precepts, he is not doing that most frequent. So Hinman, if it were the case that one is led to onto rebirth by the manner in which one usually dwells, then according to Nigantanatha Buddha's word, no one at all would be bound for state of misery, bound for hell. So, and Buddha asked this one, what about that? Because when he's stealing, more frequent he's not stealing. When you compare 24 hours, when he's engaged in sexual misconduct, more frequent, so he's not engaged in sexual misconduct. So more frequent he's not lying. Right? So, then according to Nigantanatha Buddha's theory, nobody will be born into hell. So, and then also Buddha explained, here head man, so some teacher holds such a doctrine and view as this, anyone at all who destroys life, who takes what is not given, who engages in sexual misconduct, who speaks falsehood, is bound for a state of misery, is bound for hell, then the disciple has full confidence in that teacher. It occurs to him, if somebody has that full confidence, or somebody saying, if somebody kills, then he'll be born into hell. Somebody steals, he'll be born into hell. Somebody engages sexual misconduct, he'll be born into hell. Somebody is lying, he'll be born into hell. Somebody is doing more and more things, more frequent, he'll be born into hell. So, if somebody is having that this kind of view, but which kind of view? That his master, his teacher is having this kind of view, then disciple of his full confidence in that teacher, it occurred to him, my teacher holds such a doctrine and view as this. Anyone at all who destroys life is bound for a state of misery, bound for hell. Now I have destroyed life. So I too am bound for the state of misery, bound for hell. Thus, he acquires such a view. If he does not abandon that assertion or that view and that state of mind, and if he does not relinquish that view, you know, if he is not going to give up that view, what will happen? Then according to his deserts, he will be as it were dropped off in hell. But somebody is thinking, oh, my teacher taught me that somebody is killing, he will be born into hell. Somebody is doing more frequent, that they will be, that be born into hell. So I have done all these things in my past. I have killed, I stole the things, I engaged sexual misconduct, I lied. So then because of that reason, I supposed to be born into hell. Buddha is saying, if somebody is holding that view, if he is not going to give up, definitely he will be born into hell, right? Because he has that kind of view, that wrong view. And Buddha taught that one, right? And so, but here it occurs to him, my teacher holds such a doctrine and view as this. Anyone at all who engages in sexual misconduct is bound for a state of misery, bound for hell. Now, I have engaged sexual misconduct, so I too am bound for a state of misery, bound for hell. And now I have spoken falsehood, so I am bound for a state of misery, bound for hell. Thus he acquires such a view if he does not abandon that view, definitely he will be born into hell, right? But here, headman, now Buddha is explaining more. According to this one, that Buddha is saying that somebody killed that one, killed beings in the past, and stole in the past, engaged sexual misconduct in the past, and lied in the past, he's seen thinking, no, I did the bad things, and I'll be born into bad destination. Because most of the people, they regret about their past mistakes over and over and over again. After they came to even the Dhamma, Buddha's teachings, still they think, oh, I did bad thing in the past. So I am suffering from this one. This is the good sutta, and you can recall that one. You can give up your past mistakes, right? And Buddha is teaching here, then, but here, headman, a Tathagata arises in the world. Tathagata is Supreme Buddha. He arose in the world. An Arahant, because what is the meaning of Arahant? Totally eradicated, lust, hatred, and delusion. Those are the roots for unwholesome thoughts. Lust, hatred, and delusion. These are three roots for the unwholesome thoughts. And perfectly enlightened. The meaning of that, he became Buddha without any teacher. And he understood Four Noble Truths without any teacher. Accomplished in true knowledge and good conduct. And he, whatever he learned, he lived according to that. Whatever he lived, he taught. And whatever he taught, he thought that way. And he has great psychic power. Fortunate. And he achieved that. He became enlightened. And know of the world. He knew all the worlds. And unsurpassed leader of person to be tamed. He could tame the people, very tough and rough people like Angulimala, the serial killer. He tamed Angulimala without any problem. He became a monk, right? And teacher of devas and humans. He was the teacher for devas and humans, gods and humans. And the enlightened one, and he is the Buddha, and he is the blessed one to have all these qualities. Now, Buddha with all these qualities, he appeared in this world in many ways. Then after that, he in many ways, he criticizes and censors or blames the destruction of life. And he says, abstain from destruction of life. Because we discussed, abstain from killing beings, right? And he criticizes, censors, and blames the taking of what is not given. He says, abstain from taking what is not given. He criticizes and blames sexual misconduct, and he says, abstain from sexual misconduct. He criticizes censors false speech, and he says, abstain from false speech. Now, Buddha advice, follow the five precepts. Now, then a disciple has full confidence in the teacher, that teacher. Now, let's say the disciple, he has full confidence in the that teacher. He reflects thus, in many ways, the Blessed One the Supreme Buddha, the criticizers, and censors the destruction of life. He says, abstain from destruction of life. Now I have destroyed life to such and such extent. That wasn't proper. That wasn't good. I killed beings in my past. It is not good. I did what I did. But though I feel regret over this, that evil deed of mine cannot be undone. Can we go to the past? Even when we regret whatever the mistakes we did in the past, we cannot undo that mistakes whatever we did. Let's say we broke the precepts, we killed beings, we stole the things, we engaged sexual misconduct, we lied. Then now Buddha criticizes all those things. Right? Now somebody thinks after he came to Dhamma, he understood that it's very bad. But if he is going to regret, he cannot go to the past and undo all those things. Right? That's the main issue. That's why that most people are, that they are suffering from their past mistakes. Right? And then the wise one, they will think, having reflected thus, he abandons the destruction of life. He thinks, okay, in the past I have done bad things. I know that. Now I cannot correct those things to the past. Right? But having thinking those things, he abandons the destruction of life. He abstains from destruction of life in future. He tamed himself not to kill. And even the future, he tamed not to kill any beings. And thus there comes about the abandoning of the evil deed. Thus there comes about transcending of that evil deed. What did he do? He stopped. Because after he became disciple of the Buddha, he stopped whatever the mistakes he did in the past. And it doesn't, do any good. Even we are being regret about the past. He thinks, okay, I am following 5 precepts. And even the future, I am going to follow 5 precepts. Right? So he tamed himself. And so even the Buddha's disciples, all the Buddha's disciples, they came to Buddha to be monks in the Buddha's times. They are not 100% pure, like Angulimala. Buddha went there, he was killing and making the fingers, garland of the fingers. And Buddha tamed him. And even that sometime, there are some prostitutes came to him. Right? And they gave up their past mistakes. And she became enlightened. Ambapali. She was a prostitute. And all these disciples came to see the Buddha. They had all these, the bad karma came from their previous lives or these lives. They did that one. And one time, there are a bunch of 500 thieves. 500 thieves, what did they do? Before they kill, still that this tradition is in India, in some parts. They go to some tree, very big tree. They say that in this tree, Deva, if you help me to this stealing or that, and we are going to give you that as a gift, we are going to give you that kill any man under this root of the tree. And if they are succeeded, they find some people, they bring there, they cut off their head. The same thing happened to 500 thieves in the Buddha's time. When they got caught, one man, he said, please don't kill me. And there are some other place, the monastery I came from, and they are monks, you can kill them, right? You can collect a lot of good karma by killing them, right? Then they thought, okay, let's go there and find that. And when they go, they rang the bell, all the 500 monks came and they said, we won't see any monk. We are going to cut off the head. So then all the monks tried to go, and then one small monk came and he said, please stop all the monks, I will go. He was 7 years old. And he went there. And so he was laughing, and they attacking. They surprised. All the people we brought under the root of a tree, they were crying for life. But this small monk, he was laughing. And but he, you know, they asked him, why you are laughing? He said, the disease of death, I cure myself. And they tried, you know, that keep your head. They tried to attack. What happened? The attack went somewhere else. They attack again, and it went somewhere else. Then again they attacked the neck. What happened to the sword? Sword bent. And they surprised. So they worship the monk and ask, so, and teach us whatever you're teaching. How come you became so much powerful? You are not crying, you are smiling. And so then all the 500 thieves, that small 7 years old, that enlightened monk, brought all these 500 thieves. They became monk under that small monk. They never thought about their past mistake. They killed many people. And also the 500 monks became enlightened too. They went to see the Buddha and they became enlightened. That is the thing. Even that, you know, Angulimala, he was running behind the Buddha, taking the sword to take the Buddha's finger. Because he collected 999 fingers. He wanted to complete another finger to complete 1,000. And he was running behind the sword, behind the Buddha with a sword. Nobody in this Buddha's dispensation ran behind the Buddha with a sword. But however, he became a Buddha. He did not regret about your past mistakes. He gave up that. And he became enlightened. And even Ambapali, he was the prostitute for that city. And after he became a nun, he gave up all these past mistakes. They became enlightened. Right? So, now somebody thinks, after he became enlightened, I have done all these past mistakes. Now, I cannot undo those things. At the starting from now, I am going to follow 5 precepts. Then, in the future, I am going to follow 5 precepts. And Buddha explained. And because Buddha explained, Buddha criticized many ways that taking lives or stealing, taking, you know, engaging sexual misconduct, lying. But Buddha explained, having abandoned destruction of life, he abstained from the destruction of life. Having abandoned taking of what is not given, he abstains from taking what is not given. And having abandoned sexual misconduct, he abstains from sexual misconduct. Having abandoned false speech, he abstains from false speech. Having abandoned divisive speech. What is the meaning of divisive speech? So, they use the word to break the friendships. Right? There are some friends that he goes and tells, oh, you know that your friend is talking to you about these kind of bad things. He used the word to break the friendships. And abandon divisive speech. He abstained from divisive speech. Having abandoned harsh speech, he abstained from harsh speech. To hurt others, he totally eradicate harsh speech. Having abandoned idle chatter, you know that idle chatter is the one which is not important to develop wisdom. What is idle chatter? Usually we are in idle chatter. Talking about unnecessary things, talking about the politicians, talking about the actors, actress, and also that all these things. The 32 unwanted topics, right? Only 10 wanted topics, Buddha explained. and talking about how to develop wisdom, how to develop virtuous behavior, the importance of renunciation, giving up, importance of meditating, and importance of seclusion, and those things will develop something to develop our wisdom. And the idle, then having abandoned idle chatter, he abstained from idle chatter. Having abandoned covetousness, we have a thought to get the ownership of other belongings, right? So we are jealous about other belongings, covetousness. His uncovetousness, having abandoned ill will and hatred, he has mind with ill will. So, having abandoned wrong view, he is one of right view. All these 10 wholesome things, it's called, he removed 10 unwholesome things, he developed 10 wholesome things by thinking that what are 10 wholesome things? Abstain from killing, abstain from stealing, abstain from sexual misconduct, abstain from lying, abstain from divisive speech, abstain from harsh speech, abstain from idle chattering, abstain from covetousness, abstain from ill will, abstain from wrong will. He removed all these things and after that, now he is one with right view. Then had man, the noble disciple, now Subhuddha Buddha is saying, who is thus devoid of the covetousness, devoid of all ill will, unconfused, clear comprehended with comprehending, ever mindful, dwells pervading one quarter with mind imbued with loving kindness, likewise second quarter. So what he is doing? By following 10 wholesome things, he is practicing loving kindness meditation to all the 10 directions. Northern direction, northeast direction, eastern direction, southeast direction, southern direction, southwest direction, western direction, northwest direction, direction below, direction above, all these 10 directions. He followed, he spread loving kindness without ill will, without hatred, and he developed loving kindness. And so what will happen when somebody is doing this one? Just as strong man, just as strong conch blower can easily send his signal to the four quarters. You know, conch blower, he take this seashell, the conch blower, he blow that one. That sound will go to northern direction and northeast direction. Same like he spread his loving kindness all directions, then he can easily send his signal to the four quarters. So too, when the liberation of mind by loving kindness is developed and cultivated in this way, any limited karma, all these things are limited karma. What is the limited karma means? The karma that somebody killed, stole, and engaged sexual misconduct and lying, all this limited karma that was done does not remain there, does not persist there. What happened? He is generating that. Even though he had all this bad karma, he is generating a lot of good karma. Right? So to overcome that, it is limited karma by practicing loving kindness meditation. The loving kindness meditation, this kind of very, very powerful. So he overcome all this powerful, he overcome all this bad karma with this good karma. It is same like this. Let's say that we have a glass of water, right? So this is a Buddha's simile. I put that a piece of salt here. Will it be salty, this glass of water? With a piece of salt? The small glass? It will be salty, right? I will take the same piece of salt. I will put into the, let's say that, the Great Lakes or Superior Lake, what will happen? Will it be salty?
No.
Why? The more water. The one who is practicing loving kindness meditation, his good karma is more. he overcome, that's his limited karma. Right? So in that way, he exceeded his good karma. And also that he is following the same time, he is following 10 wholesome things. You know, that someone who broke that the precepts, let's say that somebody killed in the past, as soon as he observed the precepts, he is generating more good karma than this is limited karma. That limited killing, limited karma, abstain from killing, that's more great karma. And he abstain not to do that good karma in the future. In that way, he is generating more good karma. And the same time, he is following all these precepts. And he is following meditation, loving kindness meditation. Oh, then he overcome his bad karma. He generate more good karma. Now, are we fortunate? Right? Because we can do this one. And not only that, and he can practice. Let's say that somebody cannot practice loving kindness meditation, but so he can practice compassionate meditation, right? So, and he can practice with compassionate meditation, the compassion that if there somebody has that mental or physical troubles, you have developed compassionate mind, and also that you can develop appreciative joy meditation or altruistic joy meditation. That means we can be happy by looking at others' development. Let's say somebody is having they develop their job wise, they develop, or they gather more wealth, or their job advancement, or somebody is from the education they are developing. Without being jealous, we appreciate that they are. That is called appreciative joy. So when somebody practices those compassionate meditation, all these 10 directions, he is generating more good karma than that limited karma. Somebody is following that appreciative joy meditation for the 10 directions, he is generating more good karma than limited karma. Somebody is following equanimity meditation. What is equanimity? And in this world, when we live, we have up and downs of the world. We call eight up and downs. What are the eight up and downs of the world? We call eight vicissities. So, when we have a profit, we are happy. When we get the loss, what happened? Our world will collapse. We are unhappy. When we get the praise, we are happy. When we get the blame, we are unhappy. When we are famous, we are happy. When disrepute, reputation comes to us, we are unhappy. When we have mental and physical happiness, we are happy. What happened? We have mental and physical unhappiness. We are unhappy. Those are called up and downs of the world. That is called eight vicissities of the world. It is common to all of us. It was common to Supreme Buddha, enlightened monks, and nuns, because some people came and blamed the Buddha, right? And some people came and blamed the enlightened monks and nuns. And so it is common to all the eight vicissities. However, this meditation, we practice that equanimity meditation. We train our mind not to touch up and downs in the world. So your mind is equanimous. It doesn't matter outside world, it is common to every one of us. Whether it is profit or loss, we are equanimous. We are happy all the time. We are blame or praise. We don't change internally. So we are famous or we are not famous. We are happy internally. Right? So we are physically or mentally, we are suffering. So we are happy internally. We are comfortable, the physically or the mentally. So we try to be happy. Right? That is called equanimous mind. We can develop this mind. Right? So if somebody is following that meditation, so he is generating that he overcome the limited karma, and then he does not remain there. And because of limited karma, he overcome limited karma, he already generated this great amount of good karma. If somebody practices loving kindness meditation and he achieved that develop loving kindness meditation, he will be born into which destination? He will be born into Brahma world. He is bypassing all the heavenly world even. All these six heavenly worlds he is bypassing. He will be born into heavenly world. So Brahma world. And when he is practicing compassionate meditation, then appreciative joy meditation, equanimity meditation, then he will be born into Brahma world. Then if there is any karma should be affected in the sensual world. Sensual world means that human world or any heavenly world, even that bad worlds, right? Animal world, ghost world, hell, and also asura world. All these things are bad world, but it is called sensual world. And human world also sensual world. And heavenly world also sensual world. He is bypassing all sensual world, but he is going to form world. And if there's any limited karma to affect in this sensual world, either human world or heavenly world or ghost world, animal world, he's not there anymore. He is in Brahma world. What happened in the Brahma world, some beings, they will be coming back to human world again. Their good karma is over. Like, but what happened to somebody when he is in Brahma world? He became non-returner. He will be born into non-returner world. And what happened if somebody became enlightened? He won't come back again. Then what will happen? That is limited karma won't affect him, right? Somebody became enlightened in this life. His life is only this time. What happened? The karma to affect next life or other later? His karma won't affect him. Somebody became stream entrant. Somebody entered the stream, that means Eight Noble Path, the first level of the teachings of the Buddha. And there's four levels: stream entrant, once returner, non-returner, enlightened. So he will come to this world only seven times. He had to suffer only the seven times. He won't be born into the eighth time. So he escaped from all this limited karma. Right? Then, so when we are in human world, our karma to affect in human world will come and affect us. Right? When we are in the animal world, all this, that is the nature of karma. When we are in an animal world, all these there are the karma we did in the past to affect us when we are in an animal world. Whatever if we are in a hell, all these bad karma we did in the past, those will come and affect us. Now the danger of these things, because when we were born into hell, animal world, ghost world, asura world, there's no way, very hard to really escape from that world. Buddha explained that only when we take the he took that soil in the fingernail, and he explained monks compare this soil in the fingernail and the soil in the entire world, which is more greater. Or the monk said, the soil in the great earth is more greater than the soil in the fingernail. So the Buddha explained, all the beings in this world, or animal world, ghost world, asura world, hell, this amount of people will escape from this world and will be born into human world or heavenly world or Brahma world. It's very rare. Then we know that very rare opportunity we got, because we are in a human world. That is the place that we can collect good karma. But when you are in animal world, you cannot collect good karma. When you are in ghost world, you cannot collect good karma. When you are in asura world, you cannot do. When you are in hell, you cannot do. What will happen when you are in those worlds? All this bad karma to affect all this world will come and affect you. Right? So now we escape that one. What are this escape from all these sensual worlds going to Brahma world? then you escape all these limited karma to affect in the sense of world, even heavenly world and also animal human world. So now we are Brahma world. If you have become non-returner, you will go to non-returner world. You won't come back again to this world, and so you will be enlightened. That's the difference between that those other people outside from Buddha's teachings. They can practice loving kindness meditation, they can practice compassionate meditation, they can practice appreciative joy meditations, they can practice equanimous meditation. However, they will be born into Brahma world. Buddha explained very clearly in Puggala Sutta. We can learn this Puggala Sutta one day, but their lifespan is over in the Brahma world. They will be coming back into sensual world, either human world or animal world or ghost world. So, but Buddha's disciples, because they follow all this meditation, they were born into Brahma world, and they won't come back to this world. They will be enlightened in this that particular world, or they will be non-returner. They will be born into non-returner's world. They will enlighten there. What is the difference between that Buddha's teachings? Because Buddha's teachings, we are doing calming meditation and insight meditation, samatha and vidarshana bhavana, or the calming meditation and insight meditation. That other disciples, they don't know. Right, so other disciples mean that those who are following outside the Buddha's teachings, they can be born into a Brahma world, but however, they will come back to again to this sensual world. They are supposed to get the limited karma again affect to them. Right, so karma is that very very deep subject only Buddha can understand. Okay, now by learning all these things, so may all of us be fortunate to be wholesome and practicing all the 10 wholesome things, practicing loving kindness meditation, compassion meditation, appreciative joy meditation, and equanimous meditation. May all of us be fortunate to understand Four Noble Truths in this Gautama Buddha's dispensation. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.